This thing on? Can you hear it? Thank you, Pastor Bo, in case you didn't hear me. I know you're about the same age I am. Our hearing's going, isn't it? It's so good to see you tonight and your worship team, our worship team. You guys do such a great job. I hope you know how much we appreciate you. I worship you. There is none like you. I love that thought, and it's so true. And I just want to say, just a few hours from Mother's Day, that mothers and mothers of heart, there's no one like you. I'm so glad that the Lord has given mothers and mothers of heart, by heart, to us as a treasure and as a gift. I just look so forward to Saturday night, to being with you. It's also become a real joy that knowing that my parents usually watch on Saturday night, I see them so seldom that it's just a connection to be able to know that we're able to look at one another this way. And I just want to say a big happy Mother's Day to my mom, who birthed me, and to my wife, who's taken care of me ever since my mama got rid of me. Amen. So I'm very, very grateful for your presence tonight. Those of you who are watching live stream and those who are here on our campus tonight. I also wanted to just take a few moments to just mention a few people that I know we have with us tonight for different reasons. The first is Cecil Skaggs is here tonight. The reason I mention her is because her daughter drove in all the way from Dallas, Texas, and showed up on her mother's doorstep last night. Isn't that pretty amazing? So we want to welcome you, Sharon. I know your mom is not a bit excited. But I pray you have a safe trip home as well. But happy Mother's Day. There were a couple of other people that I saw tonight. I wanted to welcome Eddie and Sally Sag, who have not been able to be with us during COVID. Where did they go over here? There they are. There are the Sags. Will you give the Sags a big hand clap? What a precious couple they are. Miss Sally is an incredible Bible teacher, and she's often writing encouraging notes to the pastors of our church, and I know I'm not the only one, just encouraging us in our ministry, and I thank God for that gift of your teaching and also your writing and encouragement. It means an awful lot to those of us who do this weekly. Miss Mathis, Denise Mathis, it looks like that Amy is here from Washington, D.C., to honor you, and we want to welcome her as well. It seemed like there were a couple of others that I saw. These lights make it difficult when you're looking out there to remember anything. I know what I wanted to say to you. Can y'all tell I'm informal tonight? I should have written all this down, shouldn't I? But it's more fun to do it this way. I just wanted to thank Laylee Parker. Some of you may wonder who the pretty young lady was who was singing. That's Bo and Leanne's daughter, Laylee. And she's got a beautiful voice, and we want to thank you, Laylee, for helping lead us in worship tonight, for sure. I know one other fellow that is so special to the life of Christ Church. I don't know if Brother Joe has ever been to this service except the night that we had the service of honor for Dr. Abiade, but Joe Dial is here tonight, and Joe has been a member here for 55 plus years. Brother Joe, just raise your hand and let everybody know who you are back there. It's so good to see you. Joe's wife, Charlene, went to be with the Lord just a few months ago, and I know this is a very difficult time of transition. I was thinking today how if COVID has done anything for me, it's made me more emotional, just a little bit more tender at heart, more thankful for every gift of life, for every breath of fresh air, and for every worship gathering that we have as the people of God. You know, we used to take things like that for granted. Well, no longer. Every day is special, isn't it? So we just give God praise for the gift of tonight, for the gift of each of you. If you're sitting near somebody, there are some couples here, I know, that are here. There's some children with some parents. There's some of you that are alone, but the Lord's right with you. But if you're near someone special to you, would you just sort of reach over and give them a big squeeze of the hand, and thank God for their presence in your life? Tonight we're going to be looking at 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. We're beginning a new series, and this is really an introduction, and I've never considered myself a teacher, but I think the next few weeks I'm going to have to try to teach. I try to teach, but it always comes out like I'm preaching at you, and I hate that, but it just comes out somewhere in the middle of it. But this series that we're going to be on for 4 weeks, it's a 4-week study on spiritual gifts, or the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the Bible calls them. We're going to be talking about that for the next 4 weeks. And tonight really is an introduction about what the gifts are about, who they're given to, and what they're for. And I want to let you know that a lot of times the spiritual gifts are not talked about in churches because there are some of the spiritual gifts that can be controversial. And how many of you know God's people don't like to argue? Except about some things. So this is not meant to be controversial, and I'm not the latest, greatest authority on anything in the Bible, so I encourage you to really read the Scripture. If I say things that you disagree with, that is fine with me. Just continue to study and pray like I'm doing. And I want to tell you this, that it's more important to seek the giver than it is the gifts. I want to just say that right up front. Because sometimes we want to possess the gifts and we forget about the giver. And the giver of those gifts, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is the most important relationship that we can have in our lives. And I just want you to encourage each of you to move in closer to the giver of all good and perfect gifts, according to James chapter 1, verse 17. Now, God does tell us that we're to seek the giver, that we're to seek Him more than the gifts. If we seek Him, the gifts will come with it. But the Bible also makes it very plain that it's not acceptable to be ignorant of spiritual gifts. That's what 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the first verse says. It says, Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant or to be uninformed or to misunderstand the spiritual gifts. That God has given His church spiritual gifts, and that He's done that for the purpose of glorifying Himself and edifying the body, and a couple of other purposes that I will mention to you later. Someone has imagined the carpenter's tools holding a conference. How many of you know that a carpenter has to be quite skilled with a number of things in his tool bag or his toolkit? Brother Hammer presided the conference. Several suggested that he leave the meeting because he was too noisy. But he said, if I have to leave this shop, Brother Screw must also go. Because you have to turn him round and round again and again to get him to accomplish anything. Brother Screw then spoke up. And he said, if you wish, I'll leave too. But Brother Plain must leave too. All his work is on the surface. His efforts have no depth. To this, Brother Plain responded, well, Brother Rule will also have to withdraw, for he's always measuring folks as though he were the only one who is right. Well, Brother Rule then complained against Brother Sandpaper. He said, you ought to leave too because you're so rough and you're always rubbing people the wrong way. In the midst of all this discussion amongst the tools at their special conference, in walks the carpenter of Nazareth. He'd arrived to start his day's work. Putting on his apron, he went to the bench to make a pulpit from which to proclaim the gospel. And in that process, he used the hammer, the screw, the plane, the rule, the sandpaper, and all the other tools. After the day's work, when the pulpit was finished, Brother Saul stood up and remarked, "Brothers, I have learned that all of us are workers together with the Lord." I just want to point out that this pulpit that I'm standing behind tonight, that I've been standing behind for a couple of years now, was made by the heart and hands of Roy Thurman, who is a dear brother of all of ours. You know, I reflect back and I keep a heart list of all the folks who have used the gifts that God has given them to help me. Do you keep a heart list of all the people that God has used to sow into your life, to invest in your life, to be a part of the building up of the body of Christ? I would love to be able to tell you about my list, the people that are on that list. But even more than telling me about my list, I would love to hear of the people who are on your list. The people that you say, you know what, in hindsight, I don't know if I could have made it if God hadn't put that person in my life at just the right time with just the right gift. How many of you, God knows how to grow His body? Amen? He knows who to put in our lives, what gifts they have, what gifts we need at just the right time. And God may seem slow to you, but He's never late. Amen? He always has that gift right when you need it. As members of the body of Christ, I just want to say we are gifted people. We are simply gifted people whose giftedness reveals that we serve a God of variety. God uses a variety of gifts that He places in us through the Holy Spirit to fulfill His great commission. I want to summarize His great commission that's found in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. First, the commission is about bringing people to Jesus. Second, the commission is about growing them up in Christ-like maturity. And third, it's about sending them out in Jesus' name. That's what the gifts are for. So God puts those gifts so that we can bring people to Christ, we can build them up in maturity, and we can send them out in His name to a world who needs the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Picasso, the great artist, once said, "The meaning of life is to find your gift." And then he added, "The purpose of your life is to give it away." And that's what my prayer is during this 4-week series on spiritual gifts, is that you will discover your gift or gifts. Or maybe you've been inactive in using those things that God has gifted you to do, that you will reclaim those things in your life. God grant this for the sake of your body. Over the next 4 weeks, we'll look at a list of some 20 plus spiritual gifts that are mentioned in Ephesians 4. If you want to write these down, you can read these in the next few days. There are three pretty good list of spiritual gifts. One is Ephesians 4. The second one is found in 1 Corinthians chapters 12 and 14. The third is in Romans 12. And then we see, not really a list, but we see those spiritual gifts in action in the book of Acts, which is really called the Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit demonstrating the power of God in the early church. And I've got some good news for you. How many of you know that when the spiritual gifts are in operation in the body of Christ, that the church experiences marvelous multiplication? Marvelous multiplication. There's no substitute for the work of the Holy Spirit active in and through people like you and me that are fully yielded to the Holy Spirit and say, "God, we don't want just our natural resources. You've given those to us as well. But we want to be channels and instruments for your supernatural resources." Things that gifts that you've given us that only belong to you. And you loaned them to us for the sake of your people because you love us that much. Isn't it fun to give good gifts? We received a gift this week. And I was just sitting there thinking, I feel really good being the recipient of the gift that we received. But I just wonder how the giver felt about the gift that they gave. How many of you know we can't lose whether we're the recipient or the giver? Amen? Because we know that it all comes from God. Everything that we have comes from Him. And He knows right what we need. I want to give you these three classifications for spiritual gifts because they're very important. And this is an introduction, so you're going to be hearing about these three categories of spiritual gifts. All of those lists that I told you about in Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, and the book of Romans, all of those lists can be broken down or classified under three headings. The first is speaking gifts. The first group of spiritual gifts involves speaking gifts. Those are gifts that are related to proclamation, to the spreading of the gospel, to the teaching of the gospel, so that people's hearts will be called to relationship with Christ. And how many of you know that you have to have, I know this is hard to believe, but we have to have the word proclaimed if people are going to hear the good news. Amen? It's got to be proclaimed. And I know we live in a day when things are artsy and techy and preachers have to have spiked hair and wear jeans with holes in them. Now, I've never been able to do that. I've never been a cool pastor. Never. If you want a cool pastor, then just tell me to take a hike because I'll never get there. Ever. I don't have enough hair to spike. But I'm going to tell you this, there will never be a substitute for the proclamation, spreading, and teaching of God's Word. No matter what you look like when you do it, that is a gift to the church. And there are lots of gifts under those speaking gifts that have to do with the power of God's Word going into a person's life. There's nothing like it. The Bible calls it a hammer, literally, that breaks the hard iron of people's hearts. At the same time, we know it's living and active. And it's able to save that which is crushed. In the Word of God, the Bible says that God sent His Word and healed His people because God's Word, though it's tough sometimes, it also goes right to the places where we hurt the most and God begins to do His work that only He can in a broken human heart. Speaking gifts. Everybody got that? The second category is serving gifts. Although some do not have speaking gifts, they may have serving gifts, which God uses to open people's hearts and reveal His concern for every need in our lives, great and small. Some of the people that have made the most difference in my life are people who served selflessly. They were not the people that were up front, and I pray God will help us who are proclaimers to serve selflessly as well with the gifts that He's called us to. But folks, there's nothing like a salt of the earth, sister or brother in Christ, who serves with the heart of Jesus. The Bible says that Jesus did not come to be served, but He came to serve and to lay His life down as a ransom for many. So serving gifts are so important. In fact, there's no church that's ever experienced the power of God's marvelous multiplication that didn't have the service gifts large and in charge and working all the time to make sure that people's needs, great and small, were met. The third, which we don't hear much about in the church today, are signifying gifts. If you look at that word, you see the word sign begins that. And those could be called signifying gifts, we might call sign gifts. These gifts are related to the revealing or demonstrating of God's power in a way that confirms His Word. That sometimes the proclamation of God's Word is blessed with a confirmation of that Word when God shows up and does something miraculous that can't be explained. in any meeting or by any person. God just showed up and showed out. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Well, Peter sets the tone for this series by telling us to use our spiritual gifts for the glory of God. And I want to pick up in chapter 4 with verse 10. Are y'all still with me? I'm doing my best to teach. Here's what Peter says. And this really is an introduction to those three other larger passages that we'll see those list in the next 3 weeks. As each one has received a gift, we can stop right there. Peter uses the word for gift in the Greek, charisma. Charisma. How many of you have ever heard of charisma? We're not talking here just about a personality. We're not talking about a branch of Christianity called charismatic, meaning that there's an ostentatious show of emotion. We're not talking about that here. We're talking here, the word charisma means a special gift of grace that is given beyond one's ability. You got that? It's given beyond one's ability. You say, why is that important? Because it's important for us to know that there's a difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. A talent comes when you're birthed into a family and you receive that talent from your parents because you've got their genetics. That doesn't always work out, but I know some families that all of the men or women too in that family are athletic. Do you know what I'm talking about? They kind of have that talent to run fast and play ball well, and everybody seems to have that talent. That's something they receive from their parents, or maybe music is that way. And these talents have the potential to benefit other people on the natural level. I'm thankful for so many different talents that people have. How many of you are grateful for the person that cuts your hair? I know hair is a big theme with me. I mention it all the time. How many of you can tell I'm rather fearful? How many of you are glad that your mechanic doesn't also cut your hair? Or that your CPA is not the one doing surgery on you when you have an emergency physically. But how many of you know that you're glad for your CPA as well, right? There's so many talents that people have that they've cultivated, they've worked on, they've exercised, they developed those, and they can be a spiritual gift when they're placed in the hands of God, but they haven't been specifically given from above, but there's talents there that God's put in the body of Christ, and it's a blessing when people turn those talents over that they've got in them even since birth. It's a blessing. Well, spiritual gifts are different. That they're not received from parents or genetics. They're received when a person is born again of the Holy Spirit. That when the Holy Spirit comes and moves into someone's life, when the Spirit of God becomes resident in this house that we call our bodies, then that there's a distribution of gifts that the Bible says that the Holy Spirit or God is in charge of distributing those gifts into the body of Christ. That's why I tell people, you know, don't be upset with yourself or with God about the gifts that you have. God knows you, and God's the one that designed you like you are. And all you need to be yourself, because everybody else is taken. Right? So what we need to do is say, thank you, God. I may feel like I've only got one talent or one spiritual gift. The important thing is, what are you doing with that gift? And are you giving it to God and making the most out of that? Have you discovered your purpose in life? And are you on your way to giving yourself away? Because you know what God has called you to do. Charismata, which is plural for charisma. These spiritual gifts are received independent of parents, and they have the potential to benefit others on a spiritual level. Without exception, every new believer receives a gift or gifts. Somebody say, God leaves no believer out. God leaves no believer out. That's what Paul says in Ephesians 4, and we'll talk about this more in depth. He says, Ephesians 4, verse 7, but to each one, and that's critical, each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. In other words, out of the generosity of Jesus Christ, each of us have been given our own gift or gifts. How many of you would get some of your children presents for Christmas, but not the others? Do y'all understand that question? Now, if you're thinking, Brother Chris, I have several children that come to mind that I might not like to shop for, then I'll see you after the service. The point is that God loves to give gifts to His children. In fact, Luke says it this way. He says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit and all those gifts that come with the Holy Spirit being resident in us? How much more shall He give the Holy Spirit to those who simply ask for that? I don't know about you. We've got May is a big month for us. All three of our boys were born in May. I cannot wait for June 1 to get here so I can get another paycheck. All of them. There's some things they like the same, and there's some things they like different. It takes a skill and lots of love and patience to go searching for a gift that represents that person. So when we go and we look for something for Brady, Connor, and Eli, we don't just say, well, one size fits all. We consider who they are. What fits them? What will motivate them? Who are they? And how does that gift represent them? And how will it be a blessing? God considers all of those things when He's distributing the gifts. So be thankful that He knows what He's doing. Well, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 12:7. But to each one, that's a theme in these verses, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. In other words, God not only leaves no believer out, but our gifts, the gifts that God has put in our lives, are not for our sake, but they are for the sake of others. You say, what are you saying, Brother Chris? I'm saying that spiritual gifts are for the common good and not for individual glory. There's absolutely no reason in the world that any of us should feel insecure because we think we have less of a gift. How many of you know, and Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 2, how many of you know the little toe is just as important as the thumb? Right? And you don't realize that until you lose a little toe. And you realize that that's a problem. Every part of this body represents the same principles in the Spirit. That every gift that God has put out and distributed is important to the building up of the body of Christ. There's not a single one that is less significant. Each one is given for the common good, not for individual glory. There is no chest pounding in the body of Christ about who's the best. I'm going to tell you, that's a way that we could get the Holy Spirit just to leave the church. How many of you know that all glory goes to God? That God's building a house, a living house made up of living stones, and He puts those gifts in the body, the people and the ministries. He puts those in there to accomplish His purposes of building up the body so that He and He alone will be glorified. Not any one person. Amen? Amen. And then Peter says in part B of this verse, he says, as each one has received a gift, he tells us how to use it. Minister it to one another. The word Peter uses for minister is a word you'll be familiar with. If some traditions have what they call deacons in the church. The Greek word is diakonia, and it means to serve or to minister. So he says, each gift that you have received, use it to serve. All of us, each one of us, have been called into the work of ministry or service for the purpose of edifying or building up the body of Christ, where it is unfinished, where it is incomplete, or where it has need. And these gifts of the Holy Spirit are not ours to own, but they're His to use through us. We are simply instruments that the Holy Spirit flows through to accomplish His purposes. You'll like this. How many of you are partially awake still? You'll like this story. A pastor was reviewing the church membership rolls with his official board and scribbled after several names on the membership rolls were the initials, capital initials, F-B-P-O. Say it with me. F-B-P-O. Oh, and after a while of seeing that, one of the board members asked the pastor to explain the meaning of those letters, F-B-P-O. And the pastor replied, "This means for burial purposes only." You see, he says, these are our inactive members. The folks that claim Christ, but who only come to the church for one of three reasons: to be hatched, to be matched, or to be dispatched. Everybody got it? To be born, to be married, or to be buried. That's the reason they come. But they've lost sight of the fact that the church doesn't just belong for them, but that we belong to one another for Christ. And that's why our presence is important, and that's why the use of the discovery and use of our spiritual gifts is important. Nobody has exactly, they may have the same gift, but how many of you know they'll even use that gift in a different way? Because there are the different workings of the Spirit and different ministries, even within those giftings, that God wants to use. Nobody can serve God for you. Amen? Nobody. Because you are unique. You're fearfully and wonderfully made, and God flows through you in a way that the body needs specifically, that nobody else can do but you. Now, doesn't that make you feel better about yourself? God would have taken us to heaven immediately at conversion if He didn't have a purpose for us here. You just imagine a person finds God, or God finds them, and they're just gone. Gone to heaven. But that's not the way it works. Among many purposes God has for us, don't forget this one, because this is what Peter says. We are saved to serve. We are saved to serve. A gift is a Spirit-given ability for Christian service. And God has given us gifts of grace, and He does not want any dead wood in His church. Nobody just buying time and hanging around without serving. I think rather than dead wood, maybe we should say driftwood is a better metaphor for those who are in the body of Christ but who've lost their spiritual connection to the church. They inaccurately see the church as existing for them rather than understanding that each of us exists for one another. We've forgotten sometimes that what we have been given, we don't use to pass on to others for the glory of God and for the sake of the building up of the body of Christ. I cannot wait to go through these lists and talk about these gifts specifically and give you personal, relevant examples of the importance of each one of these gifts that are listed under the speaking gifts and the serving gifts and the signifying gifts, and how God uses that to grow His church up for His glory. What we've been given is meant to be passed on to others. Argentina used to have compulsory military service for every person, no exceptions. Didn't matter what gender, it didn't matter what the situation, the physical limitations. They simply called everybody to serve in their military. One day a fellow showed up at the induction center objecting and saying, "What good would I be? I have no arms." And they put him in the army anyway. At basic training camp, his commanding officer gave him his first order. He said, "Young man, do you see that fella up there on the hill pumping water? You go tell him when his pail is full because he's blind." You may not have every gift, and certainly not everybody has every gift. But when you put your gift with the gift of someone else, you see how God miraculously does the work of the building up of the body of Christ. You say, "Brother Chris, why doesn't God just zap us?" Because God wants to use us. He would rather take a surrendered heart who knows him personally, who trusts him, and bring those folks together to see the miracle of how God works. And he works through people. Amen? He works through people that are yielded. He saves people. He gifts people. He works through people. And we are the church because he lives on the inside of us. And our gifts are meant for others. And when we realize that they take on a special meaning when we think of who Peter is writing to. And I want you to think of this. I've told you that the spiritual gifts are to glorify God and to build up the body of Christ. But I believe they're also given to alleviate or relieve suffering. Suffering. When you look at that list of 20 plus gifts in so many ways, God brings a gift alongside of someone who's suffering. And there was probably nobody in the world at that time that was suffering any more than the people that Peter was writing to. And Peter was saying to them, "Don't give up. You have a job to do. I know it looks like the end of time is coming, but I want you to continue to pray. I want you to continue to love. I want you to continue to show hospitality. And I want you to continue to use your spiritual gifts for God in the midst of suffering and hurting people. Because no matter what's happening in your life, you've got a job to do. And God wants us to stay faithful. He wants us to stay faithful to that." So our gifts are needed in the body to build it up where it is weak, where it is hurting, and where it is suffering. Charles Dickens, how many of you have heard that name from the past? Has anybody ever read some of his books? How many of you know they're longer than my sermons? Y'all laughed, but I didn't get any head nods. He says, "No one is useless in this world who lightens the burdens of another." I'm going to tell you what, folks. It's suffering in the world that gives us an opportunity to be Christ's hands and feet. To show up in people's lives and represent Jesus Christ. And in some ways, show people that He is risen. And that He is real. And that He is involved personally with every person, and He desires that relationship with that person. And nothing feels better, I don't think, or is more satisfying than joining with God to be His supply for some human cry that He allows us to hear or see. That's something to consider, is God, how are you going to help me join up with you today to be part of the supply for the cries that are around me today? What gift do you have in me that will meet that hurt at just the perfect time and just the right way? Do y'all get excited about spiritual gifts? Yes. Albert Pike says, "What we do for ourselves dies with us. What we do for others in the world will always remain. It is eternal." Lastly, Peter says we're to serve as good stewards. This is a Greek word that comes from oikos, which means house. And he says a steward is a house manager of what God has entrusted to us. That we see ourselves as a manager of the manifold grace of God, that God does so many special things in people's lives, and he puts gifts in us, and we're simply to be managers to say, God, lead me in how to manage or use this special gift that you've given to me so that others can experience the power of God's grace through my surrendered life. Some examples he mentioned that I'll talk about more next week. He says in verse 11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. In other words, this is under speaking gifts. He says, if anybody speaks, what he's saying is let him be so surrendered that their words come out as God's words. You understand that? If anybody speaks, let that be the goal of the speaking, is that people will see Christ. And then he says, if anyone serves, that's in the second part, let him or her do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. And I don't know how this gift works in everybody's life, but I can tell you that there's times in my life, even though I first heard a call to ministry at 8 years of age, I didn't exactly know what to do with that. My mother guided me through that. But I do know this, that every time I stand, I don't always feel like I have anything to say. But just the simple of obedience of standing, God always has a way of honoring that faithfulness. He supplies the ability to do what he's called us to do if we will be faithful. Amen? And that's in every realm and dimension of life. In other words, live and speak and serve in such a way that God gets all the credit in everything, because God's glory is the goal of all things. I want to close with this story. I told you I keep a heart list. I would give you scores of names tonight from my journey. Some of you are on that list. My heart list. This church is certainly on my heart list. But one of these days, God will ask you if you have faithfully used the gifts that God has loaned you. Think about that a minute. Also, one of these days, folks will hold a funeral in your honor. On the other side, when you approach the gates with your list in hand, the scene might go something like this. Maybe St. Peter will say, now what do you have there? And you might say, just some names. Just some names. And Peter's going to ask to see your list. And maybe you'll say, well, this is just a group of people that if it weren't for them, I would have never made it. I would have never been brought to Christ. I would have never matured in Christ. And I would have never known the joy of being sent out for Christ if it hadn't been for some of these people on my list. And Peter says to you, to me, I really want to see your list. And finally, we give him the list, and he smiles and he says, I know all of the people on your list. In fact, on my way here to the gate, I passed them. They were painting a great big sign to hang over the street, and it said, Welcome home. That's right. Welcome home. Folks, the spiritual gifts are given to glorify God and to grow the body of Christ. And it is a delight to serve, not a drudgery. Will you lay your hand on your heart with me? When you're doing that, maybe names will come that are on your heart list. Some, many maybe, who are in heaven. But maybe also it reminded you tonight that you want to thank God afresh for the gifts in your life. Maybe you've become disconnected in some ways from the Lord, and you haven't thought much about spiritual gifts, how God has worked in you and how He's put special gifts in you. But maybe you would say, Lord, if you don't know what your gift is, we're going to talk more about that. Lord, help me discover the gift or gifts that you've placed in me that can benefit people on a spiritual level. But if you know that gift, you could just say, God, would you use me for your glory? Would you let me be a part of relieving suffering in someone's life, making a difference? Lord, I want to be on somebody's list myself. I think we'd all like to be on somebody's list for making a difference in their lives. Father, as we begin this four-week series, I pray that you grant us the grace to discover the gifts that you've put within us and to surrender afresh to using those gifts as you equip us to do so. We thank you and praise you. We ask that the Holy Spirit would be very active these next 4 weeks, that we would be a body of Christ that is not just in motion, but fully surrendered to you, Lord, that you would speak clearly and deeply to us about the ministries that you've called us to, and that we would receive your fresh empowerment, Lord. God, we desire to see the hand and heart of God move among us. We desire to see marvelous multiplication everywhere we turn, that souls are coming to you, that lives are being added to the church, not just people on the membership rolls, but people on the serving rolls, that you would free us, Lord, from coming to church just for burial purposes only, that we would be active in every way, yielding to your call on our lives, and surrendering to your ability through us. Father, quicken us and make us alive. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.